Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment, evangelistic program dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Today we're going to be talking about a healing revival which took Lakeland, Florida by storm during the last several months. This revival was led by a heavily tattooed, pierced, t-shirt-wearing, biker-like Canadian man named Todd Bentley. Todd Bentley generated sometimes up to 10,000 people at his revival meetings nightly and claims that God healed people from all sorts of sickness and disease through the miracles, signs, and wonders which occurred at his revivals. However, Todd Bentley's healing methods aren't what you would normally expect from your typical faith healer. Well, to get you up to speed on this man, here's a one-minute compilation of audio clips from Todd Bentley so you'll hear what I mean.
The woman was standing in the back of the room when the faith of God hit the meeting and her tumor exploded out of her right leg, slid down her leg onto the floor. I said, God, I've prayed for like 100 crippled people, not one. He said, that's because I want you to grab that lady's crippled legs and bang them up and down on the platform like a baseball bat. I walked up and I grabbed her legs and I started going, be healed! Be healed! I started banging them up and down on the platform. She got healed. And I'm thinking, God, why is not the power of God moving? He said, because you haven't kicked that woman in the face. And there's this older lady worshiping right in front of the platform. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The gift of faith came on me. He said, kick her in the face with your biker boot. I inched closer and I went like this. Bam! And just as my boot made contact with her nose, she fell under the power of God.
Well, to talk about Todd Bentley, faith healing, and the Word of Faith movement, I have Justin Peters on the phone with me. Justin is the head of Justin Peters Ministries. Justin is a staff evangelist at First Baptist Church in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and whose field of expertise is in analyzing faith healers and the Word of Faith movement. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Thank you, Fran. It's good to be here.
Justin, why do you have such an interest in studying faith healers? You had an interesting experience as a teenager, didn't you?
I did, Fran. I was born with a relatively moderate case of cerebral palsy, which means I walk on crutches and use an electric scooter for longer distances. But when I was a teenager, a neighbor of mine came up to me, and he's very much into the Word of Faith movement. He said, Justin, God has told me that he's going to heal you as long as you have enough faith. And he told me about a faith healer who was coming to my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi, by the name of Nora Lamb. And at age 16, this really resonated with me because at the time I couldn't drive. I can now, but I couldn't then. I couldn't play football. I couldn't do all the things that I thought were so important at that age, and I really latched on to it. And long story short, I went to see Nora Lamb, went to this meeting, and I was very enraptured in it, very caught up in all the excitement, and I was even slain in the spirit. But looking back on it, it was just peer pressure and group dynamics. I was not healed, and therefore, several years after that, I went to see a few other faith healers, R.W. Shambach among them, and I really began to doubt my faith. I began to doubt my walk with the Lord because I had been taught that it was always God's will to be healed, and I wasn't healed. And so, therefore, you begin asking the question, well, whose fault is it? By definition, it can't be God's because he's perfect. So, obviously, the fault had to lie with me. And but thankfully, through the course of the next number of years, the Lord brought me out of this movement. I began to see it for what it really is. And so, the Lord called me to the ministry, and at Southwestern Seminary, began to study it at a more academic level. Came to realize just how profoundly unbiblical it is. So I've not only studied it, but I've got some personal experience with it.
Now, do you believe that God still heals today?
Absolutely. I absolutely do. And that's a point that I make over and over in all of the seminars that I do. I do believe God still heals people today. I've seen him do it. But it is not always God's will for us to be physically healed this side of heaven. And he does do it when it's his sovereign will to do so and when it glorifies him, but it is not always his will for us to be healed. And truthfully, I think miraculous healings, though they do happen, they're the exception and not the rule.
Right. Now, you attended a Todd Bentley revival meeting. What did you experience there?
Well, friend, it was I attended 3 days of meetings down in Lakeland, Florida. I wanted to see this for myself and be able to speak to it with some authority saying I've been there. But one thing that was noticeably lacking, friend, was any verse-by-verse exposition of the Scriptures. There was none of that to be found anywhere. It was all, when Todd Bentley got up to preach, in the loosest sense of the term, it was all just these wild, spectacular stories, claims of people being raised from the dead. There was a tremendous amount of emotional manipulation. The worship would go on for over 2 hours, highly emotionally charged, and a lot of people claiming to have been healed, and Todd Bentley claimed that a lot of people were healed, but as of today, I've seen zero documentation of any of these healings. I myself followed up with 7 of these individuals who were there when I was and claimed to be healed. I followed up with them, got their names, phone numbers, called them about a month later to see how they were doing. None of them had been healed. 2 of them were actually considerably worse, and one of them sadly passed away.
So you actually approached people who went up to the stage to be healed and perhaps thought they were healed at this Bentley revival and followed up with them on the phone later and found out that they were not healed? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
That's a shame. By the way, if you just joined us, I am talking with Justin Peters. You can reach Justin at 601-415-6023, and he is available to speak at churches. Again, his phone number is 601-415-6023. You had an interesting point there, Justin, about the role that music and lighting and crowd frenzy plays in these healing revivals. It seems like the condition of the audience is sometimes in a hypnotic state, and you just expect these healings to occur. Am I onto something here?
Oh, absolutely, friend. None of this would work without the music. And the reason that Todd Bentley and Benny Hinn and others like them don't go to the hospitals, I mean, if God is really healing the sick through them, why are they not in the cancer wards? Why don't they go to St. Jude's? And the reason is because they can't control the atmosphere in the hospitals. Healings only seem to take place in a closed environment, rhythmic music, rhythmic chanting at times, when people are worked up into emotional frenzies. And when you're in this state, when you're expecting something to happen and you're wanting something to happen with all of your heart, you can, and you have adrenaline coursing through your body, and it's a very tangible sense of expectation. You can make yourself feel better, and you do feel better for a little while until the euphoria subsides, a new day dawns, and the symptoms almost always reappear. It's people that claim to be healed always suffer from something that cannot be readily seen. Ringing in your ears, bad back, cancer, fibromyalgia. You never see an amputee grow a new limb. You never see a child with Down syndrome restored. It's always something that can't be readily seen.
Now, let's just say that a Todd Bentley meeting or a Benny Hinn revival, assume that a true healing did occur. If, in fact, it happened, which, hey, I would praise God if a healing occurred, does this, though, authenticate somebody's ministry as genuinely being led by God?
Absolutely not, and that's a trap that a lot of people fall into. And I don't discount the possibility, friend, that maybe somewhere, someone along the way has been healed at a Benny Hinn crusade, or maybe even Todd Bentley. I haven't seen proof of it, but I don't discount the possibility. But, believing as I do that God does still heal people today, if a healing takes place, then that is done in spite of Benny Hinn and Todd Bentley, not because of them. You know, at any, let's just take Benny Hinn, for example. At any given Benny Hinn crusade, you've got 20,000 people there. Many of those people are there to be healed. They're sick. And Benny Hinn's been doing this for close to 20 years now. Well, you do the math on that, that's a tremendous number of people all praying to be healed. Many of these people really do love the Lord. They believe in the Lord. So I would actually expect some of these people to be healed. But what speaks such volumes to me is that apparently there aren't any. And it's almost like God is going out of his way not to heal people at these meetings. But, you know, if someone is healed, does that legitimize their ministry? No. And I would refer people to Matthew 7, 22 and 23, when Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name did we not cast out demons? Did we not perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity. So Jesus is very clear that false prophets will arise, false Christs. They'll show great signs and wonders, and they'll do these things even in the name of Jesus. But they are not true prophets, they're not true believers, they're false prophets.
If you just join me, I'm speaking with Justin Peters. You can find him at justinpeters.org or by phone at 601-415-6023, and he is available to speak at your church. Justin, I hear there's an update on Todd Bentley, something about marriage problems that he had. This maybe just came out within the last week or so. Do you know anything about this?
Yes, Fran, I do, and I don't take any joy in this. I want to say that up front. Any marriage that comes to an end is a tragedy. But it was made public on Todd Bentley's website, Fresh Fire Ministries, last week that he and his wife, Shona, were separating. And initially the statement was that this was not a result of any infidelity, any inappropriate relationships. But then a couple of days later, Saturday, I believe it was, a new statement came online, and it said that from the board of directors of Fresh Fire Ministries, it said new information has now come to light, and in fact, there was a, quote, emotionally unhealthy relationship between Todd and a female member of his staff. So, you know, whatever that means, that there apparently was something inappropriate going on between Todd and another female member of his staff. So, sadly, not only has his marriage, or at least it appears to be coming to an end, but, you know, this whole Lakeland Revival thing is just crashing like a house of cards. I say sadly, it's a good thing this counterfeit revival is stopping, but what is so tragic is how many people have been misled, how many people have been lied to, how many sick people have been exploited and hurt, and the name of Christ has been sullied.
Today's topic on the program is the Word of Faith Movement. The Word of Faith Movement has been mentioned before on the show, but today we're going to dig deep into it and see what it's all about. To do so, I have Justin Peters again on the phone with me. Justin does an excellent job in testing the doctrines of the Word of Faith Movement with what the Bible teaches. Justin is an apologist and a staff evangelist at First Baptist Church in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and whose field of expertise is in analyzing faith healers and the Word of Faith Movement. Welcome back to the show, Justin.
Thank you, Fran. Good to be here.
Justin, just briefly, what is the Word of Faith Movement? How would you define it?
Well, first let me say what it is not. It might be easy to assume that Word of Faith and charismatics are the same, and they're really not. There's a big difference between clear-thinking charismatics and the Word of Faith movement. Clear-thinking charismatics would agree with any conservative evangelical on all of the fundamental doctrines of Orthodox Christianity. The Word of Faith movement, though, is a different animal. The Word of Faith movement, as led by people such as Benny Hinn, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Creflo Dollar, Jesse Duplantis, Paula White, and yes, even Joyce Meyer. This movement is actually rooted in the metaphysical cults. It can be traced back to Christian Science, New Age, New Thought, Unity, Gnosticism, and it is really a conglomeration of these cultic doctrines that have been wrapped in Christian terminology to make it more palatable to people like you and me. But it has a very distorted view of God, distorted view of the person and work of Jesus Christ, and a very distorted view of who we are in Christ. And it really is a different gospel.
Now, for the benefit of people who did not hear part one, just maybe a brief repeat of what got you motivated into this ministry, your experience as a teenager. Can maybe you give us a little synopsis of that again?
Sure. I was born with cerebral palsy, and as a teenager, I was encouraged to go see a faith healer. I went to see a couple of faith healers, actually, in hopes of being healed of my CP, and I wasn't healed. So there for quite a while, I doubted my faith. I thought there had to be something wrong with me, the reason that I wasn't healed. And thankfully, the Lord brought me out of this movement, and I began to study it in seminary and came to realize how profoundly unbiblical it is. So I've not only studied it, but I've got personal experience with it.
I hear the word positive confession. What is positive confession?
Well, the faith preachers teach that we can speak things into existence, just like God did. They teach that God created not out of nothing, but rather he created using a substance called faith, and his words were containers of the substance called faith, hence word of faith. And we as believers can use our own words of faith to speak things into existence. If we need money, we can speak it into existence. We can speak healing to ourselves and to others. We can essentially create with our words. And of course, this is something that only God can do. The Word of Faith movement, one of the fundamental problems, flaws of it, is that it blurs the line between God the Creator and us, His created. It demotes God to make Him look more human than what He is, and it deifies man and makes us look a lot more like God than what we really are.
Yeah, it seems like even in the, I guess it was a year ago, Rhonda Byrne's book, The Secret, kind of promoted this law of attraction. That was the buzzword, and it kind of seemed like it was just positive confession repackaged. I don't know if you've read anything about that.
Yes, exactly, Fran. That's an excellent point. And Oprah Winfrey has been promoting this, Rhonda Byrne, The Secret, and it's essentially what it is. It's a same positive confession teachings just wrapped in a different package. And you see a lot of this in the New Age movement, various metaphysical cults, and sadly, it has also been quote unquote Christianized and is being employed by Word of Faith teachers.
If you just join me, I am interviewing Justin Peters. You can find him on the web at justinpeters.org, or you can give him a call 601-415-6023. Justin is available to speak at your church on the Word of Faith movement, so contact him. So, Justin, this teaching, this Word of Faith teaching, obviously does not come from the Bible, but you said it actually comes from metaphysical cults?
Yes, you can trace the origins of it back there. You can trace it back to a man named Phineas Parkhurst Quimby, who was heavily involved in some of these cultic doctrines, and also Essex W. Kenyon. Kenyon was heavily influenced by the metaphysical cults, particularly New Age and New Thought, and he took some of these cultic doctrines and just wrapped them in Christian terminology and made it more palatable to people. Now, Essex Kenyon did hold to some of the fundamental doctrines of Christianity, and I believe it could be argued that what's happened with your modern prosperity preachers like Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, and Creflo Dollar, they have taken Kenyon's errors and made them much worse. Compared to the modern prosperity preachers, Essex Kenyon was actually fairly orthodox. So, and I will say, friend, that not everything that Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland and these others teach is wrong. A lot of it's right. But there is enough error and heresy mixed in with it to corrupt the entire thing. If you have a glass of water, just pure, clear water, that water would be fine to drink. But put in just a few drops of strychnine into that water, and it would kill you. And so this truth mixed with error is profoundly, profoundly dangerous. And that's the way Satan has always operated. He has always had some truth in what he says, but he mixes in error and heresy with it. And the Bible tells us that a little leaven leavens the whole lump, so we have to be very, very careful.
Absolutely. Faith teachers will sometimes say that healing is guaranteed in the atonement of Jesus Christ, and they'll use a passage from Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. Is it guaranteed in the atonement, physical healing?
Well, it's an excellent example of their truth mixed with error. Is healing provided for in the atonement? Yes, absolutely it is. The reason I have cerebral palsy, friend, is because of sin. Not my personal sin, but just Adam and Eve's. Just the fact that we live in a fallen world is why people have cerebral palsy, why they have cancer, arthritis, muscular dystrophy. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins. He also paid for all of the consequences of those sins, one of which is sickness and disease. Now, the mistake, though, that the faith preachers make is that not all of the benefits of the atonement are promised to be fully realized this side of heaven. Not all the benefits of the atonement are promised to be fully realized this side of heaven. Some of the benefits of the atonement we will not realize until the other side of heaven. And healing from sickness and disease is one of those benefits. And I give the illustration that a glorified body is also provided for in the atonement. But I haven't seen anybody walking around with their glorified bodies. It's a benefit of the atonement, but we're not promised to realize it until we get to heaven. And the same is true of healing. It's provided for, but it's not promised to be realized until the other side of glory.
Now, if you or myself goes to a healing revival, and suppose we're not healed, whose fault is it, according to many faith healers?
Well, according to the faith preachers, it's your fault. Because, as I said in the first segment, by definition, it can't be God's fault. He's perfect. So the only other one to whom to look is the one who's sick. It's his fault, her fault, because he doesn't have enough faith, has unconfessed sin, maybe hasn't given enough money to the ministry, or maybe you're not even saved. And I actually have been told that. The reason I haven't been healed of my CP is I'm not saved. And it's just a terribly, terribly unbiblical and profoundly harmful thing to tell people that the reason they're not healed is they don't have enough faith, or they're not saved, they haven't given enough money. And, friend, the Bible is full of examples of people who loved the Lord and served him faithfully yet did not walk in perfect health. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Some say that was just symbolic of persecution. Well, flip over to Galatians chapter 4. Paul says that, you know, it was because of a bodily illness that I came and preached the gospel to you the first time. Timothy had stomach problems. David was afflicted. Job, of course, was afflicted. Elisha, the great prophet, died of an illness, 2 Kings chapter 13. So it's just a matter of biblical record that not everyone who loved the Lord and served him faithfully walked in perfect health. It's just a matter of biblical record.
Right. I do not see where the Bible says that God wants every one of his children rich and healthy, like you said. Even Paul in 2 Corinthians, the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you."
That's right.
Yeah, I think sometimes our illness can bring us much closer to God than if we did not have that illness in the first place.
Well, without a doubt, friend. Yeah.
So this teaching can very much hurt somebody spiritually.
Oh, I cannot tell you how many hundreds and hundreds of people that I have talked to who have faith, doubt their walk with the Lord just because they're sick. It's a terrible, terrible thing to teach people. It's very destructive.
I am speaking with Justin Peters. You can contact him at justinpeters.org or by phone at 601-415-6023. Suppose, Justin, there is a Christian out there who is really burdened with a sickness or a disease. They've tried the healing revivals. They've tried the Word of Faith movement, and they just can't get healed. Where can they find healing and comfort?
Friend, I would encourage anyone who is sick and needing to be healed to go to the Lord themselves. Just go before His throne of grace. If you're born again, ask Him to heal you, and I'll pray with you that He does. You may even want to follow the directives of James chapter 5. You may want to call some of the elders in the church together and pray over you. Maybe even anoint your head with oil. I've seen that done before. I have no problem with that. And pray that God would heal you. But if He doesn't, know that sometimes there is something better than being healed, and that is knowing God's sufficient grace. That is knowing His strength made perfect in our weakness. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:7-9, he prayed for his thorn to be removed. Jesus did not remove it. And he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. So it is oftentimes in times of sickness and disease that God will grow us in Him, will glorify Himself through us. And, friend, I often tell people that next to my salvation, my cerebral palsy is one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given me. I have come to know the Lord in ways through it that otherwise I may never have known Him. I've experienced Him in ways otherwise I may never have experienced Him. And so it's, I do believe in healing, but sometimes the greatest miracle of all, and of course the greatest miracle of all, is that of salvation, and just in knowing the Lord, becoming more dependent on Him, more intimate with Him through our suffering, through our afflictions.
Justin, very briefly, what is the Word of Faith movement?
The Word of Faith movement is essentially the doctrine that says it is always God's will for a Christian to be wealthy, and it is always God's will for a Christian to be physically healed. We should never be sick. And Word of Faith theology can actually be traced back to the metaphysical cults like Christian Science, New Age, Gnosticism. It's just been wrapped in some Christian terminology. There is some truth in it, but there's a great deal of error and heresy mixed in with it as well, led by people such as Benny Hinn, Kenneth and Glory Copeland, Creflo Dollar, and others.
Now, it seems that it's one thing to tell someone that they don't have enough faith to be healed. That's very damaging. But the Word of Faith movement always, it seems to gravitate toward just worse theological errors. Sometimes it seems like key Christian doctrines are jeopardized. You had talked about, for instance, the fall of man. It's a doctrine that's kind of perverted. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, friend. Essentially, they teach that Adam was an exact carbon copy of Yahweh, that he was just like God. He was another Yahweh, essentially. And when Adam sinned, which, of course, has dreadful implications if he was God, but when Adam sinned, he lost his deity, transferred it to Satan. And when this happened, the real Yahweh God lost his legal right to planet Earth and was kicked out. And then Satan becomes the legal god of planet Earth. And then supposedly, according to Word of Faith theology, when a person gets saved, he regains the godhood. He regains the deity that Adam lost. And they teach that we are, as believers, we are, in fact, little gods.
Actually, this will be a good time to play the Creflo Dollar audio clip. Dave, you might want to push that button in there.
Now that's interesting, because if everything produces after its own kind, we now see God producing man. And if God now produces man, and everything produces after its own kind, if horses get together, they produce what? And if dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together and say, let us make man, then what are they producing? They're producing gods. Now, I got to hit this thing real hard in the very beginning, because I ain't got time to go through all this. But I'm going to say to you right now, you are God's, little g. You are God's because you came from God, and you are God's. You're not just human. The only human part about you is this physical body that you live in. The real me is just like God.
Well, that was Creflo Dollar, Justin, and you're familiar with that audio clip, that we are God's. Didn't somebody else in the Bible teach that way back in Genesis chapter 3?
Exactly, friend. That's what got us in the whole this whole fallen mess to begin with, was the desire to be like gods, be like God. And Creflo Dollar, stunningly, is actually advocating the very thing that led to humanity's fallen state in the first place. It's a terrible misinterpretation of Genesis 1 and 26-27. But, friend, this is essentially why the faith preachers hold so tenaciously to health and wealth, because they teach that we're gods, and a god cannot be poor, and a god certainly cannot be sick. See, I thought for years this movement was just health and wealth prosperity, but health and wealth prosperity, those are just tips of the theological iceberg. They're just offshoots of a much more serious core theological problem with the movement.
If you just join me, I am interviewing Justin Peters. You can find Justin on the web at justinpeters.org, or you can give him a call at area code 601-415-6023, and Justin is available to speak at your church. Another specific doctrinal error that it seems that the Word of Faith gravitates to is really in the person of Jesus Christ, and particularly where the atonement was accomplished. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, friend. This is rather complicated, but essentially they teach that the physical death of Jesus on the cross was not enough to pay for sins, that he had to die spiritually, and that when he died on the cross, he then went to hell, which the Bible does not teach. But then he went to hell, he suffered, was tormented, tortured, and died spiritually. He ceased to be God. Now, if there was ever a time, even for an instant, that Jesus was not God, then he never was God to begin with, because God cannot cease being God. He's immutable. He does not change. But they put the atonement of our sins not on the cross, but in hell, and it's a terrible heresy.
Psalm 90, I believe it is, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God cannot cease to be God. Justin, do all Word of Faith teachers teach this exact same thing? Is it the same size fits all, or is there variation?
There is some variation, friend. It's Word of Faith is not really a denomination per se, but you can boil Word of Faith theology down to these key doctrines: positive confession, little gods, spiritual death of Jesus, guaranteed health, guaranteed prosperity, and so forth. So these are all things to look for, and that's a key tip-off there that you're dealing with Word Faith theology. But will there be some differences? Sure. You know, I'm a Southern Baptist, and there's differences in between my theology and any other maybe Southern Baptist theology on some minor points. You know, are you Reformed or not Reformed, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. Things like that. When was the date of the Exodus, and so forth. But you can boil Word of Faith theology down to these essential doctrines.
Seems like a lot of Word of Faith teachers seem to promote that they receive personal revelation from God or from Jesus. They'll talk about dreams and visions, or maybe they went to heaven, or Jesus told me this last night. Is that a red flag that we should watch out for?
Huge red flag. Huge red flag. The canon of Scripture is closed, and any time somebody comes along and says, "Oh, God has told me so and so," you know, that is how the faith preachers insulate themselves from biblical criticism. They'll say, "Well, if you can't find what I'm teaching you in the Bible, don't worry about it. You see, because Jesus came and gave me these teachings Himself." Think about how many false religions have begun that way. By a single individual saying, "Oh, God told me such and such." Mormonism, Islam, you know, it's a very dangerous thing. The canon of Scripture is sufficient, it's complete, and it is closed. God is not giving any new revelation. Everything that He has wants to say about himself, his character, and his nature, he has said in Jesus.
It seems like in the Word of Faith camp, they may mix up the Old Testament blessings to Israel and the New Testament blessings to the church. It seems like in the Old Testament, Israel was promised physical blessings if they would obey. But when we get to the New Testament, it seems like the blessings, Ephesians 1, for instance, are spiritual blessings. Do you see that they're mixing these two up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. They're using very poor hermeneutics. But that's exactly what they're doing. They're taking these individuals such as Abraham and some of God's promises to Israel for material blessing, and they apply it directly to Christians today, and you just hermeneutically, you cannot do that. I mean, look at the disciples. How many of them were persecuted? How many of them died for their faith? Well, all of them. You know, so you look at the disciples, look at the apostles in the New Testament. They weren't wealthy. They weren't all healed. They suffered terribly. In fact, Jesus promised us that if we belong to him, if we're his disciples, we will be persecuted. So this health and wealth teaching promise from the prosperity preachers, that's a concept that is that's foreign to the New Testament teachings.
Who is in control of our lives? Who is in control of all things in this faith teaching, us or God?
Well, if you look at what they teach, we are. In fact, I have a clip in my seminar of Benny Hinn and Miles Monroe, and Miles Monroe says, basically he says, prayer is man giving God license or permission to interfere in human affairs. He says, God can only do what we permit him to do. And so the faith preachers would never come out and admit it in so many terms, but when you look at the compendium of what they teach and the logical conclusions of what they teach, man is the one that's calling the shots here. Not God. It's a very man-centered system. It's not God-centered at all.
If you just joined us, I'm speaking with Justin Peters. You can find him at justinpeters.org or by phone at 601-415-6023. Justin does travel, and he's available to speak at your church. Justin, it just seems like God is some kind of a sugar daddy, and he exists to serve us. We kind of manipulate him to get what we want.
That's right, Fran, it's 180 degrees from the true gospel. And this promise of health and wealth, prosperity, is one thing that makes it a different gospel. They appeal to money and healing, something that most everybody wants, and they'll say, if you come to Jesus, you can have it. But that's not the true gospel. The real reason we should come to Christ is that we realize we're sinners, and God's wrath abides on us, and we have to trust in Christ, repent of sins, to escape that wrath. So that's the real gospel, not this health, wealth, prosperity stuff.
So last question, about a minute, Justin. If God doesn't want all of his children healthy and wealthy, what does God want from us?
God wants us to live our lives in such a way that glorifies him. God wants to grow us in him. He wants to grow us in righteousness, grow us in holiness, so that we glorify God. And, you know, God is not nearly as interested in us being healthy and wealthy as he is in us being holy and being set apart. And sometimes that sanctification process, that growing in Christ, comes through trials, comes through sickness, comes through disease. And that's what draws us closer to the Savior. So, and I tell people, you know, if you have enough faith to be saved, you've certainly got enough faith to be healed. Being saved is by far the greatest miracle.
Amen. If you're interested in a CD of this three-part interview with Justin Peters on Todd Bentley, healing, and the Word of Faith movement, all three of those, you can contact me. My website is tower2truth.net, and my phone number is 610-513-5525. That's 610-513-5525. 5525. And don't forget to tune in next week for another apologetic issue facing Christianity today. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.